for August 2nd. And we're going to read the whole portion in this part 2 of verses 9 through 12 and cover them, these three points. And I think that there's a lot to see from these three points, as you will see. Verse 9 begins, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding," which is the very basic part of this, of what we'll see in these added portions of the prayer. Verse 10, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Verse 12, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." That's the word of the Lord. He'll most certainly add his abundant blessing to the reading of his holy truth. And as we consider this, pray then like this, and Paul having a prayer, this is how he is praying, even as he's dictating this letter to the believers in Colossae. We should pray that as fellow believers, we're praying for other believers now, remember, as we pray that as fellow believers are filled with the knowledge of God's will in Christ, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, they are also strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, not our own feeble strength. That would lean on the first part of verse 11 there. Because we do have a tendency, especially when we have answered a prayer and the Lord will use us and involve us in that answer. It strengthens our faith as we grow in grace and we feel good about ourselves. And so the next thing that comes up, and as we're praying about it, we might tend to go forth or even miss prayer a little bit, just casually run over prayer and then go forth in the strength of our own might and not in the power of Christ. We have to remember that in ourselves we have no strength. In our Robert Murray McShane reading plan, we just recently read in the Gospel of Mark, just a few days ago, or just a day ago, I believe it was, that that Peter was told, he said, "Pray that you might not enter into temptation, for the flesh is willing, but the," he says, "the flesh," in fact, it says, "Pray that you do not enter into temptation, comma, the flesh is willing, or the spirit's willing, the flesh is weak." And it might not have really been a comma. It should have been possibly a semicolon there. The Greek language in the gospel accounts doesn't have punctuation marks. It may have been a semicolon, next thought. "Pray that you don't enter into temptation." And in other words, this is why. Because the spirit is willing in those that believe, but the flesh is weak. If you want to stay away from temptation and be strong in temptation, be in prayer. Because your flesh is weak. So Ephesians 6:10, remember, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Do not give the flesh even a toehold into the door of your life." The second part is, you know, being strengthened in all power according to his glorious might. The second part, "for all endurance and patience with joy." So pray that as fellow believers are filled with the knowledge of God's will in Christ, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, they will recognize that it is only in Christ's strength that we may endure in patience with joy. That we may endure with patience and joy. That it's only in that, in the strength of Christ, that we may endure in patience with joy. John 15, verse 11, this is what the power behind what Jesus said in John 15, chapter 15, on the night that he had his last Passover meal with his disciples. He said to them, These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy, may be full. That my joy will be in you, and that your joy may be full. Right in the same sentence, the Lord is saying, it's my joy that is in the believer, and that once you have it, then it's your joy, and that it may be full. But we can only understand that fullness of joy when it's being worked out in our lives in endurance and in patience. Remember that Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, that because we're justified by God's grace, because we're justified by Christ alone, Romans 5 tells us, that we have peace with God. And verses 3 and 4 say, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, or in the King James Version, produces patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. And then verse 5 says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who loves us. But we see a progression, the endurance also, the patience that comes, but it should be with joy. And so therefore, when we suffer hardships, so we're praying for others that they won't be discouraged, because when they are understanding the will of the Lord, and they go through whatever it is that they're going through, that they endure with patience, and that their joy may be full, because they realize that they're not overcoming anything in the power of their own strength. Christ is glorified in it. And then finally, in verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. I love this portion of the prayer. I love this portion of the prayer, that we should pray that as fellow believers are filled with the knowledge. And remember, we're praying for others now. And here's the thing that I want to emphasize again before I move on with this. That when we're praying for others, we're also praying for ourselves, because we're the body of Christ. When one member suffers, we all suffer with it. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, but when one is honored, we all rejoice with it. And so it's not so much that you should be praying for yourself this prayer. I trust that others are praying this prayer for me, and I know others are praying this prayer for me. And because I don't want to be self-seeking, and you don't want to be self-seeking. And then when you're not, the Lord will bring to mind those who are prayer warriors, and he'll bring to mind those that are praying, and they'll pray this prayer for these prayers for you on their behalf. And so when you're praying for them, because you're praying for others these in this way, you don't have to be concerned with praying this way for yourself. God will bring it to mind, and then that is even a greater blessing to you. I didn't have to pray for myself. And so it'll make a little bit more sense when you see this explanation of this portion of the prayer. We pray that as fellow believers are filled with the knowledge of God's will in Christ, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, they are thankful and will lavishly express gratitude to our Lord that he alone has qualified us to share in his heavenly inheritance. When Christ died upon the cross, he established through the truth of his death that he owns everything. He owned everything anyway, but by doing so, by laying down his life, he has captured every inheritance back with no mistake, that no being, created being, Satan all the way down to the last person who has been given birth and has breathed, that they'll have no excuse that Christ owns it all. Or they'll have no way to argue with that when they see grace opened up in the day that the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And we who have inherited that, this is a promise that it is ours. This is ours because Christ has secured it. And so, backing up a little bit, when I said, you don't have to worry about praying these prayers for yourself. Be thankful that others are praying for you that when as you're praying for others. Because since the inheritance is yours in Christ, that as you're praying for others, you understand that that inheritance is yours. There's nothing that you can do to lose that inheritance if Christ has secured it for you. And so as you pray for others, then you can be sure that because you're faithfully praying with gratitude and even expressing, Lord, thank you that you have secured for me eternal life, that you have given me every inheritance this year's, you treat me, Heavenly Father, as Jesus himself. You treat me as the Son of God. And you can as you're thankful and praying that others will be thankful too, that the Lord will illuminate to you the blessing of thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, Give thanks for in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And really that whole sentence in 1 Thessalonians 5 includes all these things. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Yeah, rejoice, because that fulfills what we have looked at in the second point, that our brothers and sisters may endure in patience with joy. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. That since we understand, since lesson one, we understand that prayer is not our grocery list of getting things done. And see, our flesh has a tendency to make prayer this. God, it's a good thing that you had me praying for these things, because otherwise you wouldn't have gotten anything done. That's what our flesh does. I know. It's alarming when we put it into terms like that. That's what our flesh does. But since we know that prayer is communion with God, fellowship with him, everything is prayer. Just as everything is worship, everything glorifies God in all that you in whatever you do. Therefore, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Since it's all for God's glory, everything is worship, everything is praise, and everything is prayer. We don't need to compartmentalize it and say, "Well, this portion of my life is prayer, this portion of my life is praise." It's all that. When you're praising the Lord, you're praying to him. It's communing with him. And so that's how you're praying without ceasing. But a lot of Christians, unfortunately, see prayer as, well, that's the time when I get down and either bend my knees or bow my head or close my eyes. That's prayer too. But when you're praising, you're praying because your life is a prayer to God. And that's what it means to pray without ceasing. Your thanksgiving, thanking God, is a prayer. And we thank him all the time. When we say, praise the Lord, we're thanking the Lord. And that's why sometimes Brother Mike and I, he'll say, praise the Lord. And I'll say, well, I will. Thank you, Jesus. And then we're not trying to be flippant or funny. We actually really mean that and understand that. Or I'll say it. I'll say, praise the Lord. And Brother Mike will say, well, I will. Thank you, Jesus. And it's just a reminder to one another that we are communing with God. That's what prayer is all about. And that's what God's will is. Because the more that we are praying in the Spirit and with understanding also, the more we become like Jesus, because we're leaning upon his strength, just as Jesus leaned upon the Father's strength through the Spirit. We're leaning upon Jesus' strength through the Spirit. Is that very helpful to you?